Chapter 5, we'll continue our study. Last week we looked at the fact of how we're to stand firm, and stand firm in the fact, remember the allegory from chapter 4, stand firm in the fact that Christ has fulfilled the law for us, and that law and grace do not mix. The Judaizers are coming in, they're telling them, you got to be circumcised to be saved along with faith in Christ, and Paul is just bringing forth the true gospel. Salvation is in and through the Lord Jesus Christ alone. He paid it all, right? Scripture says he shall save his people from their sins, right? It doesn't say he hopes to save his people from their sins. It doesn't say he wants to save his people from his sins. It doesn't say he might save his people from their sins. No, it says he paid it all, right? He shall save his people from their sins. It's accomplished. The salvation's accomplished, and this is what Paul's bringing forth in this epistle, that the salvation is by grace through faith in Christ alone. He's done it all. He's done it all. You ever hear people say, well, God's done all that he can do, and now the rest is up to you? Do you know what they're saying there? They're saying Christ didn't accomplish it. That's what they're saying. By saying that, they're saying Christ didn't accomplish the work. Well, I'll tell you what, the scripture says, he shall save his people from their sins. And he did it, beloved. He did it. And so Paul's setting forth this gospel truth before the Galatians, saying, if you be circumcised, it's not worth nothing. It's not worth nothing. Your faith is in vain. If you're adding circumcision to the finished work of Christ, your faith is in absolute vain. Oh, and that includes any kind of work, beloved. Any kind of work. So today we're still being verse 1 of chapter 5, which again comes right after Paul's used an allegory of how grace and works do not mix, by bringing forth the two sons of Abraham, Isaac and Ishmael. Now let's read Galatians 5, verses 1 to 6. Stand fast. Don't move forward. Don't move backwards. Just stand there. What's that mean? Just rest in Christ. Just trust in Christ. As I said last week, when the general moves forward with his banner, we follow him, don't we? Scripture tells us here, just stand fast. Stand fast in what? Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty, which is freedom in the Greek. So stand firm in what? In the freedom wherewith, who has made us free? Christ hath made us free. Free from what? Free from the law. Free from having to do all these things to gain salvation and merit with God. Right? Free in Christ. He paid it all. He accomplished the work. And be not entangled. That word entangled there means to be placed in bondage. Ensnared in the Greek. Ensnared. Again, with the yoke of bondage. That in the Greek is slavery. So don't be ensnared in slavery. Listen to what the Greek literal Bible says. I thought this was fantastic. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty, freedom, wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not again entangled, again to the yoke of bondage. Actually, I read the wrong one there. Where is it? Well, I thought I had it. I'll come across it again. So, but stand fast. Stand fast in Christ. Stand fast in him. Let's see. It says, behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. If you're adding works with grace, Christ don't profit you nothing. Nothing. You put any kind of work, whether it be circumcision or anything, Christ don't profit you nothing. See how serious this is, eh? It's very, very serious. It says, for I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. So he's dealing with these guys and saying, well, I have to be circumcised to be saved. What about the women, right? See how foolish this all is? It's so foolish, it's not funny. Right? They say, well, if I be circumcised, well, Paul says, then you got to do the whole law. Well, we break every law that God has. In thought, word, and deed. In our natural state. Oh, my. Christ has become, look at this, of no effect to you. No effect. His blood doesn't matter. If you're trying to work your way to heaven, you've destroyed grace. By something you do, you destroyed grace. It's so clear, isn't it? Whosoever you are justified by the law, you're fallen from grace. Look at that. See, people don't realize when they start to try to do things to gain merit and favor with God, especially according to the law, that there's no grace in that. We cannot be justified by the law. We can only be justified in Christ alone. And that's the whole thrust of this letter, is justification in and through Christ alone, plus nothing. Plus nothing. It says here, for we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. We've been born again by the Holy Spirit of God. Now we wait. We wait for our King's return, don't we? We wait eagerly for our King's return. And our hope is the righteousness of faith. Who's our righteousness? Who's the righteousness of faith? Christ. Christ is the righteousness of faith. See, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth God. There's none that seeketh after God. Right? There's none good, no, not one. That's us in our natural state. But clothed in the perfect, spotless righteousness of Christ. Oh my, God sees us in Christ now, beloved. It's wonderful. Let us live in that. Let us live each day in that truth. Because it's truth. And Paul's setting it forth here before us. He says, for in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. That love of God that's spread abroad in our hearts, beloved. That love that Satan can't counterfeit. It's wonderful. It's absolutely wonderful. And look what he says. He says, if you be circumcised, we'll put baptism in there too. Right? Put Sabbath worship. Put anything that man attempts to do. It profiteth you nothing. Right? For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth, no works avail. No works. In Christ, there's no works. It's all about His works. It's all about what He's done. Now, He's ordained us to do good works. Right? But that's His doing, isn't it? And they have no bearing on our salvation. They're fruit of being justified. They're fruit of being born again. And we don't even know when we do them. Oh, my. Let's read verse 1 again. It says, stand fast, so stay firm. Right? Therefore, in the liberty, that's freedom, wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled, that's to ensnare in the Greek, again with the yoke of bondage, slavery. Don't go back to the law. Don't go back to that which enslaves and leads to death. In Christ is freedom. In Christ is liberty. In Christ is life. Life. Now, if one tries to keep the law for salvation, they're being snared by the law. It'll ensnare them. Because it can only lead to death. What Paul says, if you want to be circumcised to gain merit and favor with God, now you got to do the whole law. Oh my. That's impossible for we humans. See, but people like to pick and choose, right? Oh, this here. Oh yeah, but that's... No, no, no. You're going to do one. You're going to say God to do one. Paul here, and remember who the true author of this is? God the Holy Spirit, right? He says you want to pick and choose and say you got to do this to be saved? You got to do it all. You got to do it all. My, oh my. And I'd like to ask these Judaizers back then and say, well, what about the women? Are they all lost? Right? Because only men can be circumcised. What about the women who profess Christ? See, they don't... Do you see how these errors come in and they just put people in bondage? Do you see that? They just put people in bondage. Now, if one tries to keep the law for salvation, again, they're going to be ensnared. And seeking to be saved in Christ and the law will only damn one's soul. Because there's salvation only in Christ. Only in Christ. Nothing, nowhere else, nothing else. It's all based upon what he's done. And those who are trying to keep any part of the law to establish their own righteousness, or doing something to become more sanctified, as they say, well, we're sanctified in Christ. Right? We can't make ourselves holy in the first place. How could we expect to make ourselves more holy? It's impossible. It's a work of God, the Holy Spirit. Now, we grow in grace. We do grow in grace and the knowledge and the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. But only God can make us holy, and we're holy in Christ. Scripture plainly declares we're sanctified in Christ. We're made holy in him. Or one may use the Ten Commandments as a rule of life. And it just ensnares them. We can't fulfill one of the Ten Commandments, let alone all ten. And you know, we break them all. We break them all. My, that's why we're guilty before God. That's why we're guilty before God. Jesus Christ alone is the only Savior from sin. And he accomplished that salvation. And if you're trusting and resting in him for all your hope, then the scripture says you're saved. And of course, we must be born again. And that comes first. That comes first. Jesus Christ is the only Savior. He alone is our righteousness. I have no righteousness outside of Christ, do you? I have none. Just my filthy rags. But they can't gain merit, favor with God. I'm trusting in the one, and I hope you are too, the one who is the only hope for sinners. And the only one who we can stand in favor with God through. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ and him alone. God, our Creator, was made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because we are sons, God sent forth his Spirit into our hearts, whereby now we cry, Abba, Father. Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Galatians 4, verses 4 to 7. That's what we are. Isn't that wonderful? God declares that of us. We don't declare that of ourselves. The scripture declares that. What do we declare ourselves to be? I'm just a saved sinner. That's what I am. Oh my. You ever think about how we were before? You ever think of how we, how I often stop and think of how I was. And it shames me. But then I start thinking about my Savior. I start thinking about what he's done for me. I start thinking about how we're new creatures now in Christ. We're not the same. We're not, sure, we were, and now we're saved sinners. We're still sinners, but oh my, now I want you to rejoice about this, beloved. If God, the Holy Spirit, will get a hold of it and bless your heart with it. Now we love the gospel. Now we love the Savior. Now we love the Father. Now we love the Holy Spirit, who teaches us and guides us into all truth and teaches us about our Savior, our King, our Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. My, oh my. How did that happen? How did that happen? How did we go from being rebels in our hearts to being saints of God, save sinners? It's all of God. It's all of God from the beginning to the end. And now we have freedom that we're seeing in this text. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty, in the freedom. What freedom? Free from the law. Free from the law that condemns us. How? By anything we did? No. Again, who made us to differ? God. God the Son fulfilled the law for us. And now we who trust and rest in the Savior and the crucified one, the Lord Jesus Christ, we've been born again by the Holy Spirit of God. Now we rest in him, or we try to rest in him, don't we? That's the hardest thing for us to do, isn't it? I'll tell you, it's I'm not going to lie, it's hard. See, we're still, our flesh battles us every day, doesn't it? Yeah, it just does, doesn't it? You know, I could waste so much time. Oh my, you like me, I can waste time in, I can sit down on YouTube and watch some videos, and before I know it, 2 hours went by. And I just wasted 2 hours of my life. I might have learned a little something, but really, I didn't learn a whole lot. And I'm not saying it's wrong to do that. I'm not saying that. I'm a history buff. I love watching history videos. I watch them all day long. But I'm just saying how quickly we can, time can go on us. How quickly we can be distracted. I must keep my eyes upon Christ. Is it so with you too? I must keep telling myself, turn your eyes on Christ. Turn your eyes on Jesus, Wayne. Do you know that any attempt by sinful men or women to gain merit and favor with God by our works is an abomination to our great God? It's an abomination to Him. It's spitting in His face. You know why? Because He sent His Son to be the only sacrifice for sin. You know, not by works of righteousness which we've done. That means that not by anything we can do. Nothing we can do to gain salvation. And under the preaching of the gospel by the power of God, the Holy Spirit, the Lord Jesus Christ, we learn who He is. We learn what He's done. We learn where He is. And we learn we're going to be with Him one day. By the grace and mercy of God, all according to the will of God and all according to the grace of God. Because Christ shed His blood to purchase our eternal souls 2,000 years ago. Isn't that wonderful? And He accomplished it. And now we live in liberty. Now we live in freedom. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. We've been set free, beloved. From what? From our sin. Now we still have the presence of sin, don't we? But the power is broken. Right? The justice of God against our sin satisfied. The laws have been fully satisfied. Do you see how free we are? You see how free we are, beloved? It's wonderful. And it's only in Christ. Listen to the words of the Master speaking. Now, this is for all born-again, blood-washed believers. Listen to this. So if the Son shall set you free, ye shall be free indeed. Isn't that wonderful? That's the Master's words. Has He set you free? Oh, hallelujah, He set me free. Right? That's what we say in our hearts, isn't it? We might not say that out loud. Don't want people to think we're getting a little too excited there. Right? Ah, come on. It's okay to say it. Right? But in our hearts, we do, don't we? We praise God for what He's done for us. My, oh my. He's so wonderful. So stand fast, therefore. In what? In that freedom that Christ purchased for us. We're set free, beloved. We're not to be entangled again by the law and by you got to do this and you got to do that. It's all gone. What is there for us to do? Nothing for our salvation. But we just look to Christ now, don't we? And again, that's the hardest thing for us to do, just to rest in the finished work of Christ. But let us do that, beloved. Let us just rest in Him. We're free. We're set free. If the Son shall make you free, you're free indeed. That's truth, isn't it? That's the words of God incarnate in the flesh. That's not my words. That's not your words. That's nobody else's opinion. That's the word of God being spoken. If the Son shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. That's wonderful, isn't it? Marvel at this truth. What are we free from? Sin and death. Death don't have no sting on us anymore, right? Death's just a doorway now for us. Just a doorway for us. Brother Wayne's in glory. When he passed away, he just walked right through that door of death. Sister Kathy too. Right through the door of death into the presence of the King. Isn't that wonderful? That's glorious, isn't it? Oh my. It's wonderful. And free in reality too, not just in profession. right? Because someone would say, well, I'm free, and then still trying to do things to please God. Do you know the only place that God is pleased with us is in Christ? That's it. That's it. That's all. Amen. That's it. Sealed up. Done. It's finished. Isn't that wonderful? God is not angry with his people. He's not angry with us. His anger, his wrath has been appeased. Now he looks at us in love, beloved. True love. Eternal love. Everlasting love. And as I said last week, before we were in Adam, we were in Christ. Now, let that just sit in our minds. Oh my gosh. It's true. Chosen in him before the foundation of the world, right? Why? Because of God's everlasting, eternal love that never changes. Never changes. Oh, it's so wonderful. So wonderful. Christ Jesus our Lord, as our representative in the flesh, has fulfilled every jot and tittle of the law. There's nothing left unfinished as our substitute. He did it all. He didn't leave nothing out for us to do. Right? As I said earlier, if he didn't accomplish our salvation, right, then it's not accomplished. But he's accomplished it. Scripture says he shall not fail in Isaiah. And he didn't, did he? This salvation's accomplished. And you know what? Think of how people say, well, God's done all he can do, right? This salvation was accomplished before we were even born. Before we were even born. See, I proclaim a salvation already finished. Already done. And if it's before we were born, then how can we merit or favor God by something we do? We can't. It's already done. It was done before we were even born. And that's just wonderful. That's just wonderful. My. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one, that being Christ, many shall be made righteous. We fell in Adam. Right? We all fell in Adam. But beloved, we're made righteous in Christ now. Isn't that wonderful? That's just glorious. In Christ Jesus, the law is honored and satisfied. In Christ is the just one and the justifier of his people. That's what he is. So marvel at the truth set before us by the Holy Spirit of God. We are to stand fast in the freedom wherewith Christ hath made us free. Liberty there is freedom in the Greek. Stand fast in that liberty. Right? We stand fast in the freedom we have here, don't we? In America. And that freedom's been purchased by the blood of many others that went before us. But think of this, in a greater, far, far, far greater sense, Christ has purchased our freedom. Justice. From our sins. We are absolutely free in Christ. If you remember what Paul wrote to the Colossians, and ye are what? Complete in Christ. Now he wrote that, if I'm not mistaken, he wrote that 2,000 years ago, right? And it hasn't changed. The true author of those words is God the Holy Spirit, right? God doesn't change, does he? Let us remember that as we're reading the scriptures. These scriptures are authored by the Holy Spirit of God. And God doesn't change. So when he says the Son will set you free, when the Son says he that's in the Son is set free, that's truth, isn't it? This is truth set before us. Now we live in a world where we're geared to do something. We come into this world wired for works. But here's something that we humans cannot understand in our natural state, and let's be honest, we still struggle with it even as we're saved. There's nothing for us to do for our salvation. It's already finished. All we do is look and live. Cast our eternal souls upon Christ. I think I told you guys earlier, I was talking to my daughter a couple weeks ago, about a month ago we were talking, and I told her, all you have to do is look to Christ. And she goes, it's that simple, Dad? I said, yep. It's that simple. You just need to look to Christ. She goes, I thought it was all complicated and there was all the... I said, no, sweetie, you just need to look to Christ. Just look to Him and live. Isn't that the truth, right? Just look to Him and live. My, oh my. So who's made us free? Christ has made us free. The God-man, God incarnate in the flesh, has made us free. Free. Free from the bondage. Free from the entanglement of do, do, do. Folks in religion say do, do, do. We say done. It's already done. It's accomplished. He did it all. And we rest in He who is God. God incarnate in the flesh. And He keeps us in this blessed liberty. And we keep looking to Him, don't we? We keep looking to Him. He keeps us in this blessed freedom and we just keep looking to Him. Now, when we get our eyes off Him, then things start to unravel a bit. But He'll never let us go. Sometimes we just wander on our own. He's still got His eye on us. He's still watching us. With love. He just, as I said last week, just gently picks us up. He carries us our whole life. He carries us our whole life, beloved. There's never been a time when He's been without us, even before we were saved. Now that's amazing. That's God's amazing grace, beloved. And we continually look to Him and trust Him by the grace of God, and we refuse to be entangled again in the oppressive yoke of works-based religion. A bondage. I don't want nothing to do with the stuff I was into before. You know why? I was the most miserable man, judging other people all the time. Now, I'm free. And I tell others about the one I'm free in, the Lord Jesus Christ. I was talking to a fellow this week, and he said, well, God's done all that He can do. You know, He gives people a chance, and their free will, da 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 da. And I looked at him and I said, I'm saved by the grace and mercy of God plus nothing else. And if my salvation was dependent upon anything I do, I would never have salvation. So true for you too, right? But by the grace and mercy of God, He saved us. And this morning, we're going to look at our magnificent God. Do you know He's magnificent? He's absolutely incredible. Our understanding of Him is so low. And He's so magnificent. He's incredible, beloved. Oh. In every reference to the law of God brings forth that we are dead to it in Christ. We're dead to the law in Christ, beloved. Christ has made us free. And the law's bondage is gone. It has no claim on us anymore. My. Christ didn't destroy the law, did He? No, He came to fulfill the law. Well, He's sinless. Who did He fulfill it for? We who are sinners. We who are the chosen of God. And the Scripture declares Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. He's it. Aren't you thankful? Oh, it's so wonderful. So, you know, we may come out of stuff, religion where we got beat up for doing things or beat up for not doing things. Cast it all aside and just look to Christ. Just look to Him by faith. Rest your soul in Him. Trust Him each day. Each day. Oh, we have such liberty. Listen to what Martin Luther said. He said in the stead of sin and death, He giveth unto us righteousness and everlasting life. And by this means, He changes the bondage and terrors of the law into the liberty of conscience and consolation of the gospel. Comfort. We have comfort now through the gospel. The law just said death. The soul that sinneth, it must die. So Christ dies in our room and place. Isn't that wonderful? What a Savior. What a Redeemer is Jesus Christ our Lord. And again, we're not free from the presence of sin or the indwelling of it or the temptation of it. But we're free from the damning power of it, aren't we? We are. We are. And our great God imputed all the sins of his people, past, present, and future. And all our sins were future, remember. We weren't even born. 2,000 years ago, they were imputed to Christ, and the judgment of God fell upon him in our room and place. In Christ, by his one offering, he has purged our sins. They're gone from God's eyes. Let us live in that reality. Let us live in that freedom. That freedom of that fact. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Romans 4:8. That's us. That's God's people. Because our sins were imputed to Christ. And his righteousness was imputed to us. And now we can stand fast in the liberty, in the freedom wherewith Christ has set us free. Oh, I pray that it was a blessing to you. And it was such a blessing putting it together to know that my standing with God is only based upon Christ and him alone. And so for you too, beloved. Isn't that wonderful? Let us rejoice. Let us leave this place today just rejoicing at this wondrous, wondrous truth. We are complete in Christ. Complete in him. Brother Kevin, can you close us in prayer?